Sagemont Church is a gathering of Christian believers in the southeast area of Houston, Texas. Today's message is from our senior pastor, Dr. John Morgan.
I want you to open your Bibles. If you have a Bible with you, you can turn on your iPhone, whatever you want to do. If you've memorized it, that's even better. We're going to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. I want to recall back to the book of Genesis, if you'll remember, before I read to you from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5, that the book begins in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you remember darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Lord spoke and said, "Let there be light." And light broke through the darkness. That was all the way back to the first book in the Bible. When Jesus stands to preach the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, he uses the analogy of the light, the purpose of the light, and how the world is in darkness until the star comes, guides the shepherds to Bethlehem's manger. And there the star shines down and the light brings people to the Christ child. It is very important that all of us know and understand that if we are believers, we are the light of the world according to our assignment by the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't understand that, we will make little difference in a dark world. And so I want us to look into this message today that Jesus preached, and I want you to see the simple commandment that's given to let your light shine. Now, before I read the text in Matthew 5, verse 14, I want to ask a question. How many of you here know a little song called "This Little Light of Mine"? I'm going to let it shine. Hands are already going up. Now, let's see how many of you know it. All right. Now, just to make sure that you know it, I'm going to lead you in singing it. All right. Are you ready? We don't need a choir and orchestra. We are so good. We don't need any backup. All right. All right. Here we go. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. The devil's not gonna put out. I'm gonna let it shine. The devil's not gonna put it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Well, I hope you got some pictures of the person sitting beside you and send it to all their friends. I know for a lot of people say, you have absolutely lost your mind. But isn't it great when you're a little child that somebody teaches you a song like that? And you never forget that we have been given an assignment. We're to be the light shining in a dark world. And this is our season to have more lights than any other time of the year. Listen to the scripture. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me give you some other scripture to listen to very carefully. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 12, then spoke Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of walk as children of light. Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Listen to Paul write to another church in Philippi, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among," listen, "whom you shine as lights in the world." 1 Peter 2:12, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works, which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." And one other time, to Titus, he wrote, 3rd chapter, verse 8, "This is a faithful saying, that these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Now listen to what that is saying in one sentence. The scripture is clear that we're not to shine forth with good words, but with good works. It's one thing to talk like we're happy and full of life and wanting to be a blessing. It's another thing to be a blessing. It is another thing to light the light instead of talking about how the light needs to be lit. And when we look at the scripture, we will see that there's a way that you can tell. The way you can tell that your light is shining, you go into where there's darkness, and the light is very quickly noticed. And the difference is that a person that has Jesus living in their life, that person has within them something that goes out to other people because they are concerned about other people. In other words, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your life is here to bless others, not to bless you. If you watched any news this week, you saw some of the chaoses on Black Friday. I wondered how many of those people had a cross around their neck so that everybody know that Jesus died on the cross. They were fighting for those televisions and all that stuff to make sure that they got it. Is that what Christmas is all about? Is that what Christianity is all about? Are Christians supposed to be like the world, and that is, "My name is Jimmy, what you gonna give me?" And I want to know, what are you gonna give me for Christmas? And I just want you to know, if I have a good Christmas, when somebody say, "Did you have a good Christmas?" Your next time, "Yeah, let me tell you all the stuff I got." You haven't had a good Christmas. You've had a good Christmas when you can look around and say, "I was able this Christmas to be a blessing to others." And let me just say something to you. The little children are not the only one in these blessings today. There's a lot of senior adults that need a word, look, and a touch, a smile, a word of greeting, something like that. When Jesus said, "Let your light so shine," you've got to ask the question, are your light shining or is your batteries dead? Have you run out of starter fluid? You know, a lot of people, that's why they come to church and you pour lighter fluid on them, you know, or starter fluid is like the barbecue, you know. You throw it in and woof, and you go in there and get the meat and you come back and the fire's gone out. Because they think that's all they got to do is just squirt a little in the air, you know, and just act like everything's okay. I'm just having a real big time. Well, that's not what Jesus is teaching here. You see, from the beginning of time, God created a contrast. Light and darkness. Not black and white. Light and darkness. Those two are in direct contrast. Jesus said what side he was on. He said, "I am the light of the world. And he that follows me," listen to this, "shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That is in John chapter 8, verse 12. Now think with me for just a moment. You live in this world. I want you to think about the difference between light and darkness. I want you to think about how the darkness brings wickedness out in people. We noticed in the horror of the Ferguson riots, all day long they hated when nightfall would come. Why would it be any difference at night? Because it's in the darkness that the things come out that show the violent spirits in all of our lives, unless they have been lit up by the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the world. If Christ is in us, we begin to see a world that is hurting, but our job is not to demonstrate. Our job is to love as Jesus loved and to get out there and turn the lights on, where let your light so shine that people will see there is an alternative to what the world is all about. I've had several experiences with darkness. Darkness is used as a way of punishment. Do you know that? The Bible says that hell will be a place of eternal darkness. I was at Alcatraz with one of our deacons, Joe Simmons, years ago. We went out and visited Alcatraz, and they gave us an opportunity to walk in the solitary confinement cell. If I remember right, there were three of them. All the tourists were there. They said, if any of you would like to see what it's like to be in complete darkness for 30 seconds, we can put 10 in each of the cells. You will be in there for 30 seconds and just step forward into one of the three cells. About 60% of the tourists went in, and the other 40% stayed out. And they slammed the door. When they shut the door, I can tell you that was the longest 30 seconds in my entire life. You could not see your hand in front of your face. By the time the 30 seconds was over, there were several in just our little group. They began to breathe hard. All kinds of things were happening because the darkness brings out things in people, and that's the reason the world runs to the dark places. Sin goes to the dark places. I've spent over 300 nights in the bush of Africa in my lifetime. I'm here to tell you, if you've ever been in the bush of Africa at dark, you will hear the lions roar as they make their kill. You will hear the hyenas screaming and barking as they fight each other. You will see the hippos chopping their teeth. You will hear all of the sounds of the hyenas as they eat the flesh of living animals. You hear all of that every single night in the bush of Africa. Darkness brings out violence. Darkness brings out sin. People of the world run to darkness, not the light. People that walk in the light are not welcomed in the darkness, because have you ever been asleep in a dark room and somebody come and turn on the light right in the middle of your beauty nap? What is your first word? Shut out the light. I'm asleep. Leave me alone. The whole world is crying that. Don't come into my life. I'm self-destructing and I'm just having a good time. My family's messed up. My health is messed up. My way of thinking is messed up. I sure don't want to get out of this. Just take your little light and take it to the church house, but don't bring it out here. Well, let me tell you what Proverbs says. The reason I want you to read one every day. Fourth chapter of Proverbs, verse 19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. In Matthew 22:13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, darkness can be used for God's glory, and so can light be used for God's glory. There comes a time when we need to shut our eyes and in the darkness of that moment, blot out everything in this world. And our eyes grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. So God gave darkness and He gave light. But the idea is to get people to the light. Jesus says, I am the light, which means bring them to me. In Isaiah 45:7, He says, I form the light and I create darkness. Our life is of no benefit unless it is displayed where people can see it. If you go out in the sunlight with a flashlight, you don't impress anybody. But when you go out on a dark, dark, moonless night and you turn on the light, all of a sudden the attention comes that way. You see, the church has to get out of the salt shaker. In the same sermon, Jesus said, we're salt. You know what most Christians think salt ought to do? Stay in the shaker. This is the shaker. But you know what? If you don't get the salt out of the shaker, we don't do much good just spilling salt on each other. We're trying to convince the already convinced. But when you get out of your environment of where everybody's got a light and the light's shining, we just had a glorious day at church. But then when you go out to the darkness, you say, I don't turn on a light out here. I've made my mind up. I don't ever talk about things of God out here. I'm not going to turn a light on. You know what we're saying to people like that? I don't care where you spend eternity. You don't have to use the verbiage that so many people say about go to, you know what? Just say, I just keep my light off and you just go there anyway. Without me having to say one single word. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, it says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and the faith, Jesus Christ. God the Father sent his Son Jesus to be the light of the world. Without Jesus, there is no light, no eternal light. Without Jesus, everything is temporary. Batteries run out, the gas runs down, electricity's cut off, the clouds cover the sun, the moon, the stars, but Jesus is the light of the world. And he wants to come and live in us. And by living in us, as we go out into this dark world, this little light of mine, and it's little, but it's a light, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. That's what God sent the Father sent the Son to do. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Let me tell you something. It's a sad thing when you stay in darkness so long you don't even recognize the light when you see it. That can happen. You become blind. Blind people see darkness, whether it's daylight or dark. All they see is darkness. They're blinded. You can become spiritually blinded. You cannot tell good from evil. You cannot understand, what is a Christian supposed to do in all this? How does a Christian handle what's going on in our world? How do we fulfill our assignment from the Lord when he saved us, that we were to take this light, Jesus, and take it to the world? How do we do that? How do we do that? Those of us who follow Jesus are really the reflections of the light. We're the reflections of the light. We're called the children of light. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. But the world sees a light that actually, in the Christian, is the light of God, the Lord Jesus, coming through us. We are his reflectors. Let others see Jesus in you. Let people see, how would Jesus shop in a busy mall? He'd probably be smart and stay home. I don't know, but anyway. How would Jesus handle that person that has offended him during the Christmas season? If there was ever a time when you've got an excuse to make it right with people that you just don't like. And you notice when you don't like people, how often you see them? See, God arranges that. He said, you want to play your silly game? I'll just put them everywhere you go. So I think I'll go to that party. I know they won't go there. And lo and behold, they're sitting right beside you at the table. But God has a way of having a sense of humor, but at the same time, he's trying to make his point. We have a time of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in this country allows us to thank God for so many things about our country, but it also puts us in a Thanksgiving mode. And while we get in the Thanksgiving mode in November, then we move into December, and with Thanksgiving, we make our movement into a world that begins with our family and close friend and then reaches out to the mission fields of the world. I want to share about four things with you real quick. Number one, if the Lord were here, there's not a question in my mind that he would say these words: separate yourself from darkness, kids. Separate yourself from darkness. Be careful of the darkness. Watch a second time before you just go out into the darkness. I think that he would warn us to be where you can see the world. And as you read the scripture, you can learn about the world and you can see things in the darkness that other people cannot see. But it's very important that you get out there and follow Jesus and be a reflection of his light. But Paul pleaded with the first century Christians to forsake the work of darkness and walk in the light. In Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Walk in the light of the Lord. In the fifth chapter again, as we read it earlier, "For you were sometimes in darkness, but now are you the light in the Lord. So walk as children of light." No, some people don't want the light. They'd rather live in darkness. They'd rather spend their time in rebellion and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. A Christian knows that you are a slave to anybody that you can't forgive. God has taught us that. You've got to release them. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. These that nail me to this cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." And that's our commandment from him. We're to be the same way. I'm talking to a lot of you today, not only here, but out that are watching and listening. You are in bondage. You know you're in bondage. There's some people you can't stand. When you see them, it ruins 5 days of your life. While they're continuing to go about doing what they're doing, you are just absolutely miserable because you just will never forgive them. Forgive them and turn them loose and let God handle them. And by the way, as long as you handle them, God will let you try to handle them. The quicker you can turn them over to him, the more things will be brought right. It's amazing how many times when you go to somebody that says, "I'm sorry, I've treated you like dirt for 10 years. Every Christmas, I hated for you to come to the house. I mean, I know you're a member of the family, but I just can't stand you." And all of a sudden, you have a change in heart, and you forgive them. And you know what? By the time they deserve it, they're coming over you. "Come here, man, I want to talk to you. I really appreciate what you said about forgiving me, but really, I was wrong too. I think I'll forgive you." And you go your way rejoicing. Not go your way and saying, "365 days, I got to be back with him again. I got to get to the same party with the same people and go through this same miserable 4 hours. I don't care how good the turkey is. It is a terrible experience for me," because they're there. But whenever you release them, then God says, "Thank you very much. I'm glad that you're being easy with them, but I'll take care of this. I'll just handle the situation." God has a way of doing that. Peter described Jesus' followers in 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to what he says about us. "You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation." Oh, get this one. "You're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Isn't that a great way for Peter to describe? And you know the life of Peter. He was out there where the water met the road. He said, you're peculiar, but you're a chosen generation. You're a holy nation, you're a royal priesthood because God declared you such. The ultimate good work that any of us will ever do in this life is to turn people from unrighteousness to righteousness. It's not just to feed their stomachs, It's not just to warm their bodies, but to turn their life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And bring them to where they can be adopted into the family of God. A God that says, I will take care of you, not only in this life, but in the life to come. You know, light has various intensities. We have flashlights now. You push them and they don't use as much battery. And then you push it again, it gets a little brighter. And it's using more battery. And then you push it again, and then it's real bright. And about the time you find out it's bright, the battery goes dead. But anyway, you finally got there. But there's various intensities. Well, how do we brighten up? How do we brighten up and stay brightened up? How do we do that? The psalmist said it this way, the 27th chapter, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. He is the one. He's the one whose battery never does run down. He's the one whose emotions are not tied up to the situation because he knows what eternity holds. And so we move about today and do not understand that our job is to let others see Jesus in us by letting our light shine as a reflection of him. And as you stand around him, the longer you stand around him, then the light began to be absorbed by us like a glow stick, and the people began to see how that works. On Christmas Eve, we oftentimes have those glow sticks and all as we celebrate, and it's neat how we have one light, and then this one lights this, and this one, this, and this, and before it's over with, this whole place is brightened up. That's what the gospel is supposed to be like. We just have too many power failures. We have too many people that their wood's wet. You know, they just don't seem to ever catch on fire. They're good as long as they're around the Christians, but get them outside this door, they change their vocabulary, they change everything about them. Their priorities, what they do with their life, their time, their talents, their substance, that all changes. All you have to do is just get them a little bit away from the light. Let me give you a second thing real quick. Expose everything in your life to the light. Before you get too set in your ways, look in your spiritual mirror. Look at yourself. Do you really have in your life what you need to get through this life? Do you really have it? Or are you just pretending? 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have the praise of God. God will bring out what he wants to bring out in your life if you'll just stay close to him. He will get on your good side and let that side shine. He has a way of just planning that all out. Let Jesus tell you what's right and wrong. Don't say, I'm smart enough to know what's right and wrong. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Tom Landis, sitting down here, told us earlier today, he'd been in a lot of the prisons carrying the gospel. He said that in one particular unit, getting out of the cars and the men hollering out of the bars, don't bring your Jesus into here. We don't want him. Can you imagine such a statement? I've come that you might be set free. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. But I'm going to tell you something about him. When Jesus prayed, he always looked to the Father before he prayed. When I pray and when you pray, we better look to Jesus before we make our request. He said, make your request be known to God, and then he'll take over. Don't cut God out and just say, I know what I want, and I usually get what I want, and if you don't give it, I will manipulate for it, because I know who to shame them, and how to do this and that. That won't please God. That won't fly. Number three, forgive all your offenders. Nothing produces greater darkness and bitterness and hatred towards others. 1 John 2:9, he that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Do you hear that? He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. Listen to what he says in the 11th verse of 1 John 2. But he that hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. You know what happens when you go out in the darkness and you don't turn on the light? You start walking like the people in darkness. There's no light out there. You were the one that brought the light, but you didn't bring it. You forgot to put it in the bag. Well, you were responsible, but you didn't bring it. You didn't bring it. Another thing that Jesus would say is to forgive all offenders. Forgive all of them. Don't forget to do that. And then there's another thing, and that's to memorize and meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. You know how you judge everything? With the Word. With the Word. Old Testament, New Testament, whatever. What does God say about it? Not what is your favorite party, political party. Not what does your friend say. What does Jesus say about it? What's right? What's wrong? That's what we must use, is the Word of God. To be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, hide His words in our heart, that we will not sin against God. But you know what? If you stay out there too long, you become paranoid to the light. Anytime the light comes on, you're going to, as I said a moment ago, you just shut your eyes. You don't want to look. And you're in darkness. And you're headed for eternal darkness. Unless you let the light shine. And that light is Jesus. The more light we receive, the more light we want. Those of you that know anything about optics, you answer this question. How do you grade binoculars? How do you grade them? Why do you pay $5,000 for one pair and $50 for the other pair? What makes them better? It is the light gathering capabilities that makes them valuable. What makes a Christian effective? Light gathering capabilities. You know the truth, you recognize the truth, and you accept the truth. You reach over here, here, here. I got some from mama, got some from my mother-in-law, got some from daddy, got some from my father-in-law, got some from my brother, some from my sister, some from my friend, some from my Sunday school teacher, some from my pastor, some from my Bible teacher. I got it, I got it, I got it. Well, where'd they get it from? That's what you better check out. Where'd they get theirs? And if it's the light of the Word, hide it in your heart. Hide it in your heart. Memorize and meditate the Word. And then finally, show your love with good works. Show it with good works. Have you thought of five good things you're going to do this Christmas to make somebody happy that needs a word, a look, and a touch? I challenge you to do that today. In 1 John chapter 1, this then is the message which we've heard of Him. We declare it unto you that God is light. In Him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We don't tell the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Whenever you come to the cross and the light of Jesus shines, people get under lights for their health. They do all this kind of stuff. Let me tell you, when you get under the light of the blood of Jesus, He cleanses from all sin. And it's a brand new day. Has that ever happened to you? Has there ever been a time in your life that you can point to and say, one day, I invited Jesus into my life? Maybe it was last Christmas. But if we can just get people's attention with our little light, just to look, and then us walk with them while they're following the little light, walk them over to the light. And that's what our connection center is about. If I can say anything to you today, in the beginning of this Christmas season, to give you the greatest Christmas you'll ever have in your life, if there's just a little bit in this message today that you would like to see just a little bit more, if when we dismiss here in just a moment now, If you would take just a few extra minutes before you come and get your Bible to go out one of these doors, and there is a big private lobby under that entire terrace where you can talk to someone to help clarify the fuzziness that may have been caused by something I said today or should have said and didn't as it relates to the Word of God. But if we can get people's attention with our little light, you know what they're going to notice? We're just a reflection of His light. What's the difference between the sun and the moon? First of all, this is going to be a science test. It'll take 30 seconds. What's the brightest, the sun or the moon? Those of you from A&M, I'm going to give you one more chance. Which is the brightest, the sun or the moon? Now, thank you. Why is it brighter? Because it's the source of the light, right? What is the moon? It is a reflection of the light. All right? We are a reflection. We're living in a dark world. The sun comes and on us, and we are a reflection, and we go out into a dark world, and the world that we see and sees us is a world that needs Jesus. And when they see the light and they start coming to us, you say, no, look, come. There's the light. There's the light. I am not the light. He is the light. But I am a reflection of that light. And because I have caused a little bit of attention, because you saw a little light in my life that you have not seen in others' lives, and you have come, and let me tell you, the source is Jesus, the Son of God, S-O-N. Our message today is very simple, but it is profoundly a necessity. No one is saved except by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is worthy to follow unless they're following Jesus. He just knows things that we don't know. He does things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. His ways are higher than our ways. And our journey is temporary, and His journey is eternal. And if you'll just simply get close enough to the reflected light, because of Jesus in somebody's life, that can bring you over to the light of the world, the Son of God, He'll take it from there. He will also reveal Himself through you, and you too will become a reflector of the light until that day that we go to be with Him. Would you just bow your head for just a moment? There's two times of the year when it should be the easiest, and it seems like it's the hardest for some to just get a brand new life. What are you going to get for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? If you don't know the light, ask for the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come into your life. Say, I want Him in my life. I want others to see Jesus in me. I don't want to hide it under a bushel. I want to see Jesus in me, but He's not in me. And what I'm going to give for Christmas, if I'm not careful, won't last through Christmas Day. And I want to give the world something that'll last them for eternity. And they may not even understand it now as to how important it was that I shared with them that light. But I did, and I'm so grateful that I did. Why don't you today? Let this be. Start off the whole month. You have all these Sundays in December as we have that climactic moment of celebrating the birth of Jesus, when you've had even 4 weeks to grow to that celebration day and that night before when we have all of our Christmas Eve services to come and praise Him and praise Him and praise Him and light the candle and be one that is not only holding a plastic candle or a wax candle, but you are holding up your life as a reflection of the Son of God who lives in you. So I encourage you to come. The way we do it at Sagemont is we just simply give you a quiet moment. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. If you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I've understood enough of what you've said that I know the light of Jesus is not shining in me. I've walked in the darkness. I've made some tragic mistakes. I've walked into walls that I wouldn't have walked into, and traps and potholes that I wouldn't have fallen into if I could have been in the light, but I just couldn't see it at the time. But today, I'm wanting Jesus to come into my life. I don't want to become religious today. I want to become a child of God. I want that light in me. And I know the Bible says, for whosoever will may come. Would you be that one? I want to pray with you right where you're seated. If you'll just slip up your hand right now, all over this building, I just want to lift my hand and I want to pray with you, Pastor. I want to ask Jesus into my heart. My first Christmas gift, I want it to come from God the Father as Jesus comes into my life. Would you just lift your hand and I want to pray with you at this moment. Would you do that? Just lift it up. God bless you. Is there another? Just lift it up. Nobody's looking around. I'm just wanting to pray. I want Jesus to come into my life. Would you do that right now? Would you do it? Anyone else anywhere? Anyone? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, I want you to come into my life. I want to be your child. I want my little light to shine because I want to reflect you to others. So Jesus, I invite you right now to be my Lord and Savior. I confess I'm living in darkness. I confess that I cannot save myself, but I want you to save me. So I'm inviting you to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Not only for this life, but for all of eternity. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We pray that today's message has brought you to a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. Join us Sundays at 9:30 and 11 a.m. at Sagemont Church in the Worship Auditorium. For more information, check us out at www.sagemontchurch.org.